Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, resume accomplishments, examples, part one. Here we go. Now, we have several cast iron resumes. I don't know how many, but we...
Yes, we do.
We have a few.
You're kind of laughing. I don't think we're there yet in terms of the totality of things we have to say about resumes.
No,
to be fair, I could see somebody sitting out there going, God, this is the fifth or sixth or seventh. And I would just say, yeah, from one perspective, if you think about a one-page document, or even if you're silly enough to say multiple pages, you could say, okay, I got it. You know, you gave me the guidance and so on. I'll just tell you, though, you think about having a life and then distilling that life down to one page. I'd be willing to spend an extra half an hour or an hour making it 2, 3, 4, 5% better. I think when you get that concentration of importance at a time of risk and uncertainty in one's career, I can't say we're there yet in my heart, in my gut, about how much we could talk about resumes.
Yeah, I think arguably you could say that the resume is the single most important single document in a person's career.
In anybody's career.
Yeah. And if that is in fact true, and particularly in these tough times, if it's true, we can't spend too much time on it. There are some people where that something they hear on this podcast, the one they're going to hear today, is going to be the difference between them getting the job and not getting the job.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a job, that's pretty darn important to you, right? So
yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. There are some people in the world who their resume, you know, if you were Thomas Jefferson and you wrote the American Declaration of Independence, that's more important than your resume.
Okay. Well, Neil Armstrong doesn't need a resume either.
That's right. Yeah. That's right, folks. If you're Neil Armstrong, if you're listening now, Neil, two things. One, send me an email, mark@managerdecktools.com. And two, you don't need to listen, really. It's fine. Because your first line is going to say, first man to walk on the moon, and then nobody's going to read anything
else. Right, and that's it. You only need one liner in your entire resume.
Yeah.
First man to walk on the moon.
Hi, I'm Neil Armstrong. Okay, sorry, I interrupted.
Okay, so we have a series of casts, right, obviously, but then we have the resume workbook, which folks haven't looked at, and you're writing a resume, that's something you might want to look at, but we still get questions on the forums, email, just in a number of different ways, questions from folks at the end of conferences. They want to know how to create accomplishments.
Yeah, in fact, and the questions we get in the forums, and then I get emailed, to show@managerdecktools.com. When we get those, the plurality about resumes are about accomplishments. Within that plurality, within all the questions about accomplishments, about resumes, they're about being about accomplishments. And I have to tell you, I am shocked. I mean, okay, I'm older now, so I'm probably not shocked, but I am really still surprised by a 30, 35-year-old person with an 80-word accomplishment bullet that is just nowhere near anything that is understandable to folks. And we're not dumb. I mean, we've been in all the industries. I know the buzzwords. When you say blah, 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 to everybody else, I can go, yeah, I know a guy who did that. And I know exactly what's important about it. And this is the way you'd write it. And you take it from 100 words down to 20. And people are just saying, whoa. Now, some people fight and say, oh, it's too short. It doesn't cover everything. I said, you don't have time to cover everything. You've got one page. But it distills the most important things. So absolutely, the plurality of the plurality when it comes to resume questions, always about creating, crafting, really making dense, effective accomplishment bullets. Yeah.
Right. And so today we're going to give folks a quick reminder on how to create your accomplishments. Right. And then as a special bonus, which I think people will really like, because at the end, we're going to give 10 examples of, something that we found actually on the internet. So these are real accomplishments written by real people, real accomplishments. And we're going to walk you through how to take what is a bad accomplishment and turn it into something that's effective.
Yeah. The whole point of this cast is to not revisit our already published guidance we would not be doing this if we didn't think the examples would be really illustrative. And we do this all the time. Wendy gets somebody asks her a question and she goes out and finds a bullet and says, this bullet of yours sounds just like this one. And you could figure out how to distill it down. So yeah, we've got three things we want to say. First of all, we're going to quickly review the core of the Manager Tools guidance when it comes to accomplishment bullets, which is verb result method. It's a no-brainer, guys. It is a rule of thumb that never fails. And then we're going to recommend you make notes of your accomplishments on a regular basis, the career management document, you know, once a quarter, writing down what you did and so on, simply so that you have a rich field to harvest from when you're getting ready to go in an interview to create the actual one-page resume. And then we're going to give you 10 examples, actual examples, and we're going to tell you what the example is. We're going to tell you what's wrong with it. We're going to tell you how to make it shorter, more dense, more effective, how to get into the verb result method. And we may take you through two stages of it when the ones are really, really bad. They may have good information in them, but they're just not. Just because everything in your bullet is good doesn't mean it needs to be on your resume. The question is it good enough and does it need to take more than one line, which rarely it does.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about our preferred method. I mean, the most powerful method we've seen for writing accomplishments is to follow this verb result method formula.
Yeah. But here's the thing, dude. I got to interrupt you. I apologize. Here's the problem. People, they sit down to write a resume and they think that they have to be creative, or they think that they have to be a good writer, or they think that they're creating an image. I mean, you go out, you start looking for resume guidance. All these people, the first thing these resume people say, well, you need an image. You need to craft an image. What's your story? What's your brand? Guys, it's just all a joke, okay? Your resume needs to be tactically, technically efficient and effective. Yeah, it's nice at the end when your resume is rock solid, item after item after item, that'll make a reader go, okay, this guy's done well. It's okay to then think, what's my theme, right? Am I projecting myself, portraying myself with the right tone that I want people to have about me? Although, frankly, most hiring managers couldn't give a hoot about that. What they want to know is what you did and how well you did it.
Okay, but how many people get to that point where their resume is so solid that they can start thinking about it, about none. Adding that little extra, that little extra level? I'd say not very many.
None.
Okay, so none.
Yeah, I said none before you were done talking. Like I said it like six times, but you didn't hear me. None. Yeah, okay. None. I'm sorry. Do we need to say anything more? None.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about a convent either. None. N-O-N-E. Well, that's an oversimplification.
Let me ask you a question that's kind of related to that, because I think people worry a little bit. Let's say they have 20 or 30 accomplishments on their resume. I'm just saying. Say they had 20.
You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me, Smalls. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I tell you, we get this all the time.
They follow our formula, and they immediately look at it and go, man, that just looks, it's dull. It's the same thing, time after time after time. I mean, you'd agree with me. People have that concern, right? I mean, that's not something I'm
just absolutely. Thinking. And to be fair, from their perspective, it's a completely legitimate concern. In the same way that the third grader wearing shorts to school looks at his teacher wearing a suit and says, that guy dresses funny. Well, yeah, maybe you just don't know anything about the person who's teaching. And maybe teachers are supposed to wear suits. Look, you can't be a resume producer and expect to know what it is to be a resume consumer. A resume consumer, an executive, a manager, a hiring manager, a recruiter, a headhunter, whatever you want to call us, we have a different perspective. We're not writing it, we're reading it. And I can assure you, folks, if your resume has a sense of repetitiveness around verb result method, if it over and over and over again just says bam, 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 there is a part of every recruiter that goes, wow. Now, mind you, there are some people who think they've done that and haven't done that. But a resume that truly does that, and you'll know how to do that after getting on these 10 examples, is shockingly powerful for us. Now, you may say, oh, it wasn't much fun to write. Well, do you really want to have fun writing it, or do you want it to be effective?
Right.
I don't know. Somebody sending me a resume is fun. I don't care. Or, you know, it's not really lyrical, or it doesn't flow. We don't care about flow. I couldn't give a flip about your resume's flow. I want to know what you did and how well you did it. And if you can send me a resume that when I look at it, I can feel the repetitiveness of the structure, because an accomplishment bullet doesn't have to be selling. It's a fact. It's not a persuasion. You're not trying to say benefits. If you know anything about sales, the difference between features and benefits, you're simply stating a fact about what you did and how well you did it. Some people who are not going to be a fit for you will go, well, that's really good, but it's not really what I want. Other people who love it will say, well, that's awesome, and that's exactly what I want. But if you make it too much writing, if you try too hard to make it prose, if you try to touch it up a little bit, if you try to add a few extra syllables, by the way, syllables are a killer. I don't know why. People add extra syllables all the time. They say, they use phrases, they use the word, well, instead of the word use, they use utilize. There's like, what, four syllables in utilize? Like, dude, really? Three extra syllables and a bunch of extra letters when space is at a premium? Used as a, or utilized as opposed to use is just an immediate red flag. People add more because they think it's about writing. It's not about writing. It's about your history, what you've done, and how well you've done it. Make the accomplishment bullets as desiccated and as dry and as simple and as poundingly factual. Bam, bam. Hey, I got to tell you, the resumes that are really, really good are Churchillian. Churchill said once, I'm going to paraphrase here. I'm going to get it wrong, even though right now I'm in the midst of reading his 6-volume series of World War II, and it's really good. He said, you know, the secret to being a great speaker is pick one point and hit it, and then hit it again, and then hit it the second time with a great whack, and then do it again, right? The accomplishment bullets, folks, need to just march down the page. And if your format is the same for every bullet, we don't have to worry about whether you're a good writer or a bad writer, whether we like your prose or don't like your prose, whether we understand the conjugation of your verbs, whether we understand the value of your split infinitive, or why there's an extra adjective when there should be an adverb. We don't need to worry about any of that stuff. Get rid of all those potential errors and just hit us between the eyes with what you did, the accomplishment, the thing you did, the result, and the method. And everything else falls away, and we can truly see what you did and how well you did it. And you give us a gift. We think, well, it's not perfect, but man, this guy knows how to communicate what he did and how well he did it. And it says to you, says to every person who reads it, absolutely somebody who makes something happen. Not interested in trying to snow you, not interested in trying to sell you. It doesn't have to be fancy. We don't need fancy. We need fast. And that's a mistake that too many people make. Let me say it a little bit differently, and I probably should have said this earlier. Your resume, folks, is not literature. Okay? The whole idea of creative writing classes teaching you consecutive sentences, right? You can't have consecutive sentences starting the same way. This is not literature. This is not creative writing. 3 or 4 sentences in a row that start with I would be bad in an essay. This is not an essay, okay? Structural variety in sentences helps people feel like they're in a narrative. We don't want people to feel like they're in a narrative. We want them to glean key facts about you and how good you could be at their job. Your resume does not have to be interesting in terms of the way it flows. It just does not. They have to be factual. They have to provoke action. And things that provoke actions are whatever it is you've done and how well you've done it. The whole point of a resume, remember, is to get you to an interview. And the reason you're going to be interviewed is because you made the first cut, and now they're looking at you with a little bit more detail, and now they can see this person makes things happen about things that are valuable to me. You don't need to have sentence variety at all. And I got to tell you, you put 20 bullets in a row, all beginning with quantified results, totally powerful. The cumulative effect on a recruiter, on a manager, on an executive of, I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this, okay? You underestimate it. Frankly, there are people out there listening to us right now who are like, oh, I really wouldn't want to do that. I don't want to toot my own horn. Folks, if that's the kind of thought you're having when you're put together a resume, your resume is doomed for failure. And look, Mike and I, we don't want that. We want your resume to get every ounce of mileage it can out of how well you've done. And the best way to do that is not to burden it with your choice about how to make it literature, because it's not. It's a fact conveyance device. That's all it is. And if you deliver the facts in a form that recruiters love, that says, this is freeze-dried, we've taken all the fluff out of this, we shrunk it down, it's shrink-wrapped, recruiters just want to kiss your feet for that. And then when they see one like that, that actually clicks in some way with them, they're saying, okay, this is in the go pile.
I agree.
Yeah.
Having seen too many bad ones.
Yeah. And you know, I frankly, resumes for a long time in my career, Mike, just bothered me. They just bothered. I would get them and people would say, would you look at this for me? And what they meant was, can you find me a job? And yeah, I don't know. I don't remember if I lost friends or not. I'm sure I did. But I would say, this is awful. I'm not going to send this to anybody. You got to change this. And I would spend 30 minutes with them. And they're like, well, my friend told me. My uncle told me. Okay, cool. Well, do what they did. But I'm not going to send this to any of my friends. I'm sure now that I think about it, if I said that to people, I lost some friends.
you think?
Yeah. I'm all right with that, though. Folks, if I know you, I'm never going to send you a resume of somebody that I first haven't wrestled to the ground into a format that I won't put a burden on your time if you're reading it as a hiring manager, period. Friends don't send their friends really crappy resumes and say, oh, but he's a good guy.
There you go. Okay. We need a bumper sticker.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, we do. Okay. So look, let's spend a minute. Okay. Verb result method. Okay. Here's an example. Achieve 1 million in sales of product X in fiscal year 10 by targeting high net worth individuals. Okay. I'm going to say it again. Achieve $1 million sales of product X in FY10 by targeting high net worth individuals. Now, in this example, achieved is the verb, right? You'll always start with a verb. And obviously, I suppose there are some cases where it's not, but you would use past tense, right? Then we have the result. What outcome? If you're wondering what result is, think outcome, okay? And that is 1 million sales of product X in FY10. And by the way, I had somebody once say to me, yeah, I don't think I want to put the year in there. Well, if the guy had the job for 3 years and he says he achieved $1 million in sales in product X and he doesn't put FY10, you might think he only sold $333,000 worth of it 3 years in a row, which isn't very good. And then the last thing, by targeting high net worth individuals, is the method. Having the result at the beginning, following the action verb leads you into the result, is 60 to 70%, folks, of the impact of the accomplishment. Compare. And you might say, no, maybe not. So let me read it to you again. Achieve $1 million in sales of product X in FY10 by targeting high net worth individuals. That's one. I'm going to change that now. Targeted high net worth individuals to achieve $1 million sales of product X in FY10. Now, can you hear the difference, right? The high D's, those of you, and even high I's, the high I's are always going, squirrel, oh, I got to check a text, right? Oh, I got to tweet. The high D's out there and high I's are already thinking, so what, when you say targeted high net worth? Okay, where am I going? And by the way, in much the same way that if you send me a 12-paragraph email and you ask me your question in the 11th paragraph, the moment I get to your question, I have to go back and reread the thing. When you say targeted high net worth individuals, we're literally not listening. We're hearing the words, but we're not listening. Then when we hear achieve $1 million in sales, when we read that, now the accomplishment, we have to go grab the context. Without the accomplishment, the context is moot. It has no value. The story you want to tell about how you did what you did means nothing without us knowing what you did. It's critical. It's absolutely critical. Don't tell stories. Hit us in the nose and then tell us about the method. And look, a good example. If you start an accomplishment with transferred 200,000 users from in-house to cloud servers with no data or service loss, the next question naturally is going to be how. So your resume doesn't get to say you transferred the users with no data or service loss without saying what you did. Okay. To some extent, you've got to be able to answer that question because they're looking not just for accomplishments, but for a connection with you based on how you work or what you do or how you did it. Okay. Two likely outcomes here. One, the method you use will be something that the hiring manager is familiar with. And so he or she will know you can fit into the team. The second part of it is you'll have come up with something new if he doesn't know, and he wants to talk to you about that. Oh, that's something that we wouldn't have done it that way. And he's got a great accomplishment. If you start putting out something that you did, not your achievement, not your result, but you talk about method first and they don't know what the method is, you lose him immediately. So you've got to include the how. It just has to happen in order for it to truly have context and have interest for a hiring manager. It's got to happen after the achievement of the result. And then the key is you can't write a whole paragraph. I've mentioned it before, the great movie, A River Runs Through It. The movie is great, but the book is even greater. And in it, the young boys, the two brothers, their preacher father homeschooling them, asks them to write an essay. And once he corrects it and it's grammatically and spelling correct, he then says, okay, write it again half as long. And when they finish that, he comes back, he says to them, they get it right. And he says, okay, write it again half as long. That's what good writing is distilling and distilling and distilling and cutting and cutting and cutting. And by the way, as a general rule, this is a great cast that Wendy wrote, but I'll tell you, I'll add a little something. The word very on your resume, just cut it out.
Unless you say very, very, or very.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there you go. Exactly right. Yeah. The word very almost inevitably when it comes to writing and good freeze-dried writing. No, the word very is unnecessary. We skip over it, in fact. Unless, as Mike says, you use very, very, very. In which case, we immediately sit up and go, well, this must be something worth taking note of. Yeah. So the whole point of not having too much is, if you're going to have a one-page resume, you must manage line control. Accomplishments cannot be a line and a half. A line and a half accomplishment is never going to be as powerful as two accomplishments each on one line. That extra half a line that's blank is totally wasted. It's not blank space, it's wasted space. That's why we don't have header data like education and experience and so on, because those take two extra lines with a carriage return. So don't do it. One line, verb, result, method.
Well, there's another issue when it comes to being able to write effective accomplishments. Right. You have to have a list of them.
You really can't do this.
You sit down to your resume and then thinking through 10 years of a career and trying to figure out what your accomplishments are, then that doesn't work terribly well.
Did you say 10 years?
I said
that is panic inducement. Inducement right there.
Hey, look, and I know a lot of people who've been through that, right? They work for a company for a long time. There's layoffs. They haven't even thought about a new job in 10 years. And now all of a sudden they're stuck coming with a resume trying to think what they did over the last 10 years. Folks, you've got to make a note of your accomplishments regularly.
3 years is panic inducing. 10 years is just a sigh of total destitution. It's like I'm in jail all by myself. I did it to myself. And I'll never see the light of day. It's bad. Yeah. So look, you got to keep track of things, right? Over and over and over again, we've said in career tools and sometimes in manager tools, update your career management document regularly. Include the numbers. This is huge. Include the numbers. If you've written 4,000 lines of code this month and you didn't have any bugs, write that down. We guarantee you will not remember how many lines of code you wrote in February of 2007, if it's January of 2011, okay?
And folks, look at right now, today, you don't know what accomplishments are going to be important
yes.
for the job you're going yes. to interview for 5 years from now or 3 years from now. Write them all down. You never know. Right. And when you prepare for an interview, you're going to look at the company or look at their needs, and then you're going to go back over your career document and pick out the accomplishments that make sense for that specific opportunity. And you want to have a long list to pick from.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit like packing for a trip. I know a lot of people who do this. They take out five outfits. They whittle it down from five into one. You want to look at all the possible outfits before you pick one. It's just like, you know, you gather all the data before you choose what data is most important.
There you go. Yeah,
definitely. Yep. And it'd be okay to have a 3 or 4 or 5 page career management document so that then you could create a bunch of different one page resumes for different possible career choices or job choices based on the subtleties of the company and the location and the industry and the job and everything else.
But are you suggesting that there would be a different resume for every job that you interviewed for? Is that what you're suggesting?
Absolutely. Sure. If I'm interviewing at IBM or I'm interviewing at Oracle or I'm interviewing at Apple, three very different places. If I'm interviewing at JCPenney, or if I'm interviewing at Anthropology, or I'm interviewing at, what's another example? Bloomingdale's. All different choices.
You're saying even if it were for the same job, say it's a retail job, a retail Absolutely. Manager in a department store.
Sure.
It'd be different.
Okay. Yes, I am saying that. Okay. But now here's the thing. Most people hearing me are going, no, I wouldn't. The reason is I'm coming at it from a different place than they are. They are saying, I got what I got. I got three pages. I'm going to look and I'm going to think about JCPenney. And I'm going to think about Bloomingdale's and I'm going to think about other stores. I'm seeing what's different. What's the same? What are they looking for? There are some places that look for collaborative culture. There are some places who look for leaders who take the reins and go. Neither one's wrong, right? I've been on collaborative teams that kick butt. I've been on teams where the leader said, no, we're not collaborating. You're all going to do what I tell you to do. And we did great things, right? Neither one's right. The question is whether or not it's effective for the organization. But don't put a bunch of leader like you took the reins and made things happen. If the culture is totally collaborative, it's going to immediately turn somebody off. But yeah, you've got to have that stuff. Yeah.
So we don't go into detail. If this is a surprise to you, if what we just described here is a surprise to you, then you need to go back to listen to some of our other podcasts. But it's just another only reason I brought it up is just for those of you who are doubting us. It's another reason why you have to have a good career management document with lots of accomplishments. So again, you can pick the accomplishments that make sense for the specific job that you're interviewing for tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. So if you got ahead in a project, make a note of it. What caused it? How were you able to get ahead of schedule? Maybe you weren't ahead overall, but maybe you comment that you drove one part of the project to be ahead of schedule early, even if it didn't finish ahead of schedule at the end. Revenue increases, write them down. Cost decreases, write them down. Customers gained based on what you did, write it down. Anything that can be measured, write it down. Make a note of it, write it down. There'd be nothing wrong with having something on your computer that says career management document and just typing in bullets, or having it in your OmniFocus account, career management document thing that you could add bullets to. Just make sure, since your resume may be needed if you get laid off, make sure that document is someplace else other than the company-owned computer.
Thanks, everyone. That's it. Hope you enjoyed it. And I hope we'll see you in the discussion forums, www.manager-tools.com/forums. So long, folks.